the Yankee lineup today. Ben Rice leads off at first. Jason Dominguez bats second and right. Cody Bellinger is the left fielder. Back in the lineup will bat third. Amed Rosario is the DH. He'll clean up. Jazz Chisholm is back in the lineup. Circle that. Star it. He's batting fifth at second base. If Jazz struggles the next couple weeks, just remember how the Yankees have handled certain things in the past, including that Anthony Rizzo concussion. I'm a little concerned that Jazz is right back in the lineup, but he's batting fifth. Hopefully, it's nothing, and he's fine, and he's healthy, and he rakes, because the Yankees need nothing more. Anthony Volpe, the shortstop, bats sixth. Austin Wells is the catcher, batting seventh. Like, in what world can Austin Wells be batting anywhere but ninth in a Yankee lineup? I guess this one. Jose Caballero is the center fielder, batting eighth, which is fascinating. Bellinger in left, Caballero in center. And Oswaldo Cabrera is the third baseman, batting ninth. Now, where is Spencer Jones, you might be asking? Spencer Jones is out of the lineup today with food poisoning, according to Aaron Boone. Also, on his AAA rehab assignment ahead of his return on Friday, Ryan McMahon is out of the lineup today with the same kind of food poisoning illness. Why do I think this is important? Well, today as I was scrolling on my train ride in, all right, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? Of course, I get drawn in by a headline, and this maybe feels more morning show, but this was the headline, one of the three main stories on the New York Post this morning. Mystery of explosive diarrhea parasite outbreak in the U.S. as experts try to figure out what's causing it. And apparently there's been a stomach-churning parasite that's kind of been linked to food poisoning. According to the CDC, 145 people ranging in ages 5 to 86 years old in 20 states contracted the parasite Cyclospora. Something else, another word I'm not going to attempt to say, between May and June 16th, 20 were hospitalized. This is still going on. The highest number of cases happen to be in New York State. Now, does that mean that's what Spencer Jones and Ryan McMahon have? No, but I do find it a little ironic that there's an unknown stomach bug that is firing off in the United States right now, and now suddenly Spencer Jones and Ryan McMahon in separate places are both out of separate lineups with food poisoning. And obviously you want these guys to be healthy and fine, but if anybody's ever lived in a house where somebody conducts some kind of stomach bug, again, food poisoning's one thing, and this parasite listed online is linked to a food poisoning, so maybe Spencer Jones did eat a one-off thing and it's not something that is contagious. But if it is more stomach virusy than it is food poisoning, all you have to do is live in a house with somebody with a stomach virus and you understand what I'm saying. It's only a matter of time before others get it. And the last thing the Yankees need when they're about to be in a get-right series, you would think, versus the Minnesota Twins this weekend, is to basically have Ben Rice, Jason Dominguez, and Cody Bellinger hurling their guts up. Okay, so we hope that this is a one-off situation, but Spencer Jones out. And it's just one of those, when it rains, it pours. Look, we've all dealt with stomach illnesses. They suck. You get through them. But if this is something that sweeps the Yankees locker room here this weekend and it leads to games lost when they're already down guys because they're injured, that's going to suck. So hopefully, again, Spencer Jones gets healthy really quickly. This is just a minor, it's a minor food point. Like, we can only hope. But they do have IVs and stuff on standby in the Yankee locker room. Now, as far as the story of the day with the Mets, I'm going to get to you guys back on the calls here before Yankee Pre, 888-808-1019. The Show. It's a podcast called The Show. Joel Sherman, John Heyman. Their guest today, Steve Cohen. I think the full episode is about to drop. A couple clips have surfaced. First, on the future of David Stearns, we've heard the quotes. Let's hear exactly what Steve Cohen had to say.
David's a thoughtful... listen, I'm in my conversations with him. He's incredibly thorough. You know, there aren't answers that I walk away and say, oh, you know, I don't agree with that, or... I mean, he's pretty, you know, buttoned down and knows what he's talking about, okay? We're 2.5 years into a contract. Everyone forgets. Does he get any credit for 24? Does that not count? Okay, and we almost made it to the World Series. And that was just 2 years ago. So it's a mixed record, okay? I mean, I'm not going to say it's going great, okay? But it's too early to really make evaluations. And I feel really strongly that if we're going to burn and churn, that's a terrible place to be. And every time you burn and churn, guess what? The next time, nobody wants to come, okay? Is someone going to put their career in your hands if you're going to be, you know, short-term oriented? And yeah, I have a contract. It's a 5-year contract. And we're going to live that contract out.
Does that mean David Stearns is getting the full 5 years?
Listen, I mean... I'm going forward with David as our leader. Listen, there's no guarantees in anything. Okay, I'm going to evaluate this as we go along. And listen, David knows that it hasn't, you know, hasn't worked out the way he thought it would work out, the way I thought it would work out. He'd be the first one to admit that he's made some mistakes. And this is a guy who's reflective. You know, what am I looking for? I'm looking for someone when things are going great, hey, it's easy. When things aren't going great, you know, are you reflective? Are you adaptable? Are you flexible? I believe David is, and I hear it. We'll figure out what changes that need to be made. But the change that's not going to be made is you know, moving David out at this point. I'm just not going to do it.
Okay, so there was some good and some bad within that answer. First of all, the good. This is why you do like to listen to audio instead of just reading quotes. He doesn't fully guarantee that he wouldn't fire David Stearns before the 5 years is up. He does leave that door open a little bit, saying they'll reevaluate, but, you know, he is moving forward. So I guess that's the win out of that clip. But here's the problem. I agree that for most organizations, we probably are a little quicker to fire people in today's day and age in sports. But at the same time, if a guy's not getting it done, I don't think using the word burn and churn, like if we get to the end of the year here and it's year number three, and David Stearns' first year happened on the backs of successes of a bunch of guys he has since gotten rid of. Like he says, well, does David get any credit for year one when they made the NLCS? Okay, yeah, like, yeah, but the most key contributors outside of Lindor on that team are now gone. He got rid of them. So if he gets credit for there, then why are we not going, well, then why didn't you keep those guys? Why didn't you keep Pete Alonso? Why didn't you keep Brandon Nimmo? So he does deserve the criticism for that. So yeah, that's fine if you want stability, but you were quick to fire Carlos Mendoza. Does he not get any credit for 2024? Does he not? Why does he not get the same credit you want to give David Stearns? Look, at the end of year three, that's not a burn and churn. You should have a good evaluation of who David Stearns is as the president of the New York Mets after 3 years. And the truth is, the Mets, who in the process of this finally got the big fish in Juan Soto to sign here, feel further away than ever, which is hard to do. And that is on the president of baseball ops. So maybe at the end of the year, there's another reevaluation, but I don't know. That answer is kind of troubling. At least he didn't fully close the door that a change could be made. At least fully. That's like my little sliver of positive. Now, what we did not have in quote form earlier, and I've been told out in the newsroom, and I have not heard this yet, is Steve Cohen did comment on the relationship between Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor. This, again, from the show, courtesy of the New York Post.
Yeah, I don't see them going anywhere. Okay, and frankly, I think that's a story that was last year's story. And that I actually am told and believe strongly that these guys are getting along much better. And so I just don't see that as an issue anymore.
Whoa.
And, you know, listen, I'm lucky enough to have two high quality players like that. And you know, with the elimination of, you know, whatever issues there were last year, I mean, I'm thrilled that they're on the team.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a bombshell because now we can end all speculation. And for anybody out there in Mets land and that, you know, fans, media alike, that wanted to throw cold water on the idea that Juan Soto was not happy as a New York Met last year, I mean, you wear a major L now. The owner of the team has now admitted that there were issues last year between Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto. And if there were issues between Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto, that now opens the door to make us think, were there issues between the core of Nimmo, McNeil, Alonso, and Francisco Lindor? If Juan Soto had the issues, and he can't go anywhere after the deal he signed, you were very quick to get rid of all of those guys this offseason. I mean, Steve Cohen has essentially admitted there was rifts in the locker room. And certainly has admitted there was a rift last year in a locker room between these two guys. Now, he has said since then, he is led to believe there are no more issues. By saying there's no more issues, it indicates there were, in fact, issues. That's not good. And when you think about this year and the injuries back and forth with Lindor and Soto, did it ever occur that maybe there's no issues this year because the two have barely seen each other? When you consider the amount of time back and forth, especially with Lindor out? Maybe that's why there's no issues, because they haven't had to interact much. But there you have it. The owner of the New York Mets telling you, without telling you, but also telling you, all that talk about issues in the Mets locker room last year, and all the jokes, they felt like jokes, that Juan Soto wasn't happy there. Well, he basically just confirmed it. Now, Soto ain't going anywhere. And obviously, they seem like they're doing their best to make this feel like it's Juan Soto's team. But he says that, and then I wonder. Felt like we were so close to naming Francisco Lindor the captain. And then suddenly, oh no, the Mets would never name a captain. Now backed up by the owner saying that there was an issue between Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor. I mean, start doing the math. That's a problem. And he says those guys aren't going anywhere. Well, hard to say they are when David Stearns ain't going anywhere. I appreciate Steve Cohen being candid and honest. Can we give him a little credit? Where we've been saying we've been begging for him to speak outside of just content, you know, talking about the fans. He gave you some brutal honesty there. I don't know if that was, if he thought about saying that or not, or maybe he didn't realize what he was saying there. But the Mets seemingly definitively had a locker room problem last year. And the owner has told you that. And it involves the two biggest stars that are here today, who now he says they don't have a problem and they should move forward. But again, the two have barely seen each other this year. 888-808-1019. Bill in Rockland County. Bill, what's up?
Oh, what's happening? The best show ever. No super nerd, no super jock, just a casual man running the show. He's doing a great job. So
I appreciate it, Bill. Though I love my guys, Evan and Tiki, but I appreciate the love, man.
All right. I want to talk about the World Cup, but can I just throw something out about Al Pete real quick?
Yeah, but Bill, I can barely hear you. It sounds like you're under an airplane on speakerphone.
Yeah, I'm walking my car, and all my guys are mowing the lawn.
Bill, I got to let you go. I'm sorry. As much as I want to hear what you say about Al, I can't do that to the audience. You can't make everything.
He was walking the dog and mowing the lawn, I think, at the same time.
Well, I think he's probably walking past landscapers doing it. Oh, I wonder what he had to say about Al Dukes. We'll never know. Maybe he calls back tomorrow. Let's go. Ahmed in Norwalk, Connecticut. Ahmed, what's up?
Sean, how's it going, man?
What's up, Ahmed?
Yo, man, I just want to say I'm a huge Yankees fan. Man, this past week, man, it's just been miserable.
Brutal.
Like, I was watching the game yesterday, and like, I remember that throw by Caballero, and like the fans started booing. I was thinking, like, I think we should. The Yankees don't have the guts to do this, but they should just keep Caballero at short, and why not just put Volpe at second? Even if Jazz isn't, you know, playing well, I feel like just moving him around and like,
well,
kind of messes with you. You know what I mean? And it's like he's playing center field today.
I agree with you. Like, to me, I think that Caballero's versatility is a strength, certainly, and I think the best Yankee team, which doesn't exist because this would involve having a real shortstop and a real third baseman, the best Yankee team has Caballero as like the 10th man on the roster. But they're not going to get a new third baseman and shortstop this year, even at the deadline. My guess is it's one or the other. George Lombard comes up. Caballero is probably the third baseman, and I think that includes Lombard, by the way. I think if they think Lombard's coming up, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't trade for a shortstop or third baseman, especially with their need of catcher. But Caballero playing all over the place, yeah. I mean, and in the end, I think his best position is short. As far as Volpe at second, well, Jazz is back in the lineup tonight. And I'd be lying to you if I'm not concerned about Jazz, because the Yankees have made me concerned about the way they've rushed back guys and kind of ignored see Volpe last year. And if you want to tell me concussions are more unpredictable, see what happened with Anthony Rizzo. Concussions are nothing to play around with. And that's great, and I'm sure there are protocols with independent doctors, so I am certainly not one. But as we've learned, things can be missed. And in football, while it is a much more high-contact sport, at least in the football protocol, you're talking about waiting a full week before you even dare to put him on a field. We're about 2 days after how shook up Jazz Chisholm was. He's going to go run around and play today. That worries me. I know the Yankees are banged up and they need him. I would have put him on the 10-day IL to play it safe. I would. Woody in Plattsburgh. Woody, what's up, dude?
Hey, what a treat. Solo Sean. This is like when you used to work the weekends.
I know. I'm too good for that now, aren't I, Woody?
Right. I literally right? You're big time now. I'm actually in Mexico right now. I took a wild shot with my phone because it usually just wouldn't go through, and it went through. I was like, oh my God, all right, it's on.
See, the World Cup bringing harmony, Woody.
Right. So now it's back on. I can call.
Great.
So here's my thing about the Yankees. You know, you have to look at it a little bit logically. You got to take your emotions out of it. Like, obviously, the Keystone Cop defense and the poor starts that we've been getting have been just absolutely brutal to watch.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you know, think about it. And I don't want to sound like C-Mac, but, like, dudes are coming back. Like, Max yeah. is coming back. That's automatically going to help out the starting rotation. You got LeGrande down in AAA filling it as a closer, and Clark Schmidt is on his way to the bullpen, too. That immediately gets rid of guys like Duvall and Bird. And as long as Judgey comes back, I mean, yo, we should literally be and I know it's a bunch of things have to
but
happen.
What do you see, like, what I'm saying, though? That's a million ifs. And we're also assuming LeGrande doesn't struggle the way Spencer Jones has struggled. I'll be at different positions, different everything. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's still a lot of questions.
I agree. There's definitely some questions. But, Sean, like, Why do we even watch the games? If the, you know what I mean, like,
oh, of course, we hope the ifs we all have come true. That's why we watch.
You know what I mean? Like, in my mind, like, seriously, this is the best shot. If all things, you know, if everyone is healthy, everyone comes back, like, everything is good, this is legitimately the best shot for Stanton, Judge,
and Cole.
Yep. To get a chip. This is it right here.
Woody, I agree. You know, this is why they got to be more all in at the deadline. I appreciate your call from Mexico there. Like, I want to be more right about this team from my takes in April and May than I am today. I'm just being as transparent and honest. Baseball is an ebbs and flows thing. And I'm sure people are going, just wait till October. We wait every year till October, and inevitably the same problems we see for whatever caused their June swoon end up creeping up in October. And I'm sorry for having that concern now, but I wouldn't be telling the truth. I'm not full-fledged to the point I don't think they're making the playoffs. I am a little panicked they're not going to win this division, which will then in turn make their job harder to get to a World Series. But this is going to be one of those things when you wake up, well, what's the deadline this year? July 30th? When you wake up July 31st, I used to love that it was always on July 31st. I hate that they've kind of flip-flopped around the dates all the time now. I want to wake up and feel confident that this general manager finally went in for the A-plus pieces at the deadline and didn't get second fiddle. Because if he does that, I can't ask for much more in trying to rectify and perfect this roster. Louie in the Bronx. Louie, what's up?
I wanted to. That Yankee lineup looks more like, it sounds more like a Kansas City Royal lineup,
it
really
does.
I mean, that's a horrible lineup. I wanted to get to Mitchell Robinson, but I heard these Met quotes, and I happen to be a Met fan. But first thing with Mitch, right? I loved him. OG was my favorite, and Big Mitch. But a couple of things with him. Let's not forget he does have issues, the guy.
He does.
Mental health issues.
He does.
Okay, that's number one. All right. Number two, let's not forget his nicknames. He was hurt often. All right. And third, there's no doubt he punched something when he broke his metacarpal. And if he would have been out for that series, we would have never forgave him.
I agree.
Because we would have never won. Now, could I just make a comment on the Mets here quick?
Okay, what do you got?
I like Lindor. He had a problem. He had a problem with McNeil. He's obviously got a problem with Soto also. They have a problem with each other.
Right? Yeah.
But, okay, no doubt. Now, listening to Cohen, see, my problem with Stern here is that he fed us the stuff as he was going to go run prevention. All right, that's why he got rid of Alonso. He didn't want to give him the extra years. He felt he was going to age bad. And his defense was under par. Okay, no problem. But then you bring in a guy like Polanco that doesn't play the position and know he's hurt.
Yeah.
You bring in a center fielder with Roberts that is always injured. Okay, you bring in Bo Bichette, who I happen to love, but
and you move his position.
And he wasn't good at his primary position.
I agree, and they didn't
Then you bring then you send Vientos, who's a horrible third baseman. You send him to first base. He's a butcher over there.
And move Beatty all over the place too. Louie, the run prevention stuff didn't jive. It never jived. It was a nice thing to say. It was nice trigger words to say, but their entire offseason plan that followed. Here's what they did in the offseason. It was Lindor upset prevention. That's what it feels like to me. Let's make both Soto and Lindor, let's at least minimize the problem and hope these two can figure it out, because the two most important pieces, keep Lindor's problems to one guy, Soto, and we hope that they can figure it out. Soto knows he's here long term, but we need to shake up what's, you know, keeping the two most important Mets, I guess, unhappy, or at least one of them in Lindor. Steve Cohen opened up this can of worms by admitting that Lindor and Soto had a problem. Because how could you not now go back to everything we thought and think that Lindor didn't have a problem with those other guys? I don't know how you don't at least imagine that or dream that.